love to me. I don't know why he cared. I don't know why.
Let's stand for the reading of God's holy word. As I preach in your hearing tonight, as the old black preachers used to say, Jesus takes care of emergencies which are not emergencies to him. Jesus takes care of emergencies which are not emergencies to him. And that is the title all by itself. Make sure that other old title is off. The Just Jesus, and this is part 3 of the campaign, of the series, within a series, a mini series, M-I-N-I. The Just Jesus Evangelistic Campaign is the overall series, day 660, since January the 20th, 2017, day 1025, since January the 1st, 2016. The Bible reads in Matthew chapter 9, verse 18, while he, Jesus, spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, my daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. Now, before you judge this man for not having as much faith as the Gentile general, just remember that his servant was still alive. This man, it had been confirmed to him that she, his daughter, his sweet 12-year-old daughter, was dead. And by the way, before you judge this man, there are many reasons why people want their loved ones raised from the dead. It may be something as small as she wanted something. You promised her that you would get it, and she died before you got it to her. It may be because she annoyed you with some whining that she was doing, and you snapped at her, which was out of character for you, based upon the wonderful, sweet relationship that you have with her. So there are many reasons that if you don't have any dead loved ones, why people want their loved ones raised from the dead, especially a child. Because as they say, we're not supposed to bury our own children. And Jesus arose and followed him. He left that meeting and with the publicans and the sinners. And Jesus arose, and I want you to notice the love and heart of God. To say he has a big heart is just does not do it justice. But notice the love and the care that Jesus has that most of us don't have. Amen, somebody. And Jesus arose and followed him. If you want me to use a King James Version word, straightway kind of a deal. This was immediate. This does not sound like that Jesus was kind of lingering. And Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. And behold, a woman which was diseased, and we dealt with this on last time on Tuesday, preaching through the book of Matthew about Jesus, line upon line, verse by verse, chapter by chapter, here a little, there a little. Out of nowhere, and behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. And as I told you on Tuesday, there's nothing like being made whole. Some of you people are not whole. That's why you're always agitated. You're always sad and depressed. You try to use drugs and alcohol and illicit sex outside of the bonds of marriage to make you whole. And all sin does is tears your soul apart, your spirit apart. It messes with your life in so many ways. Some of you do not have marriages that are whole, made whole. You need Jesus to make yourself whole. And my beloved, by the way, all of this talk about better half, I can't wait to find my soul mate. They will complete me. No. You need, baby, sir, ma'am, you need to be complete when you get married. See, that's the problem. We got too many people who are not complete when they get married. You need to be healthy and whole when you get married. That man cannot complete you. That woman cannot complete you. You don't have a whole marriage because you're not made whole. You don't even know what it means to be made whole. You've got to bring something to the table, and that is a whole person made whole by Jesus. A person who has peace already. A person who has joy already. A person who has godly character already. A person who, by the grace of God, can handle stuff and disappointments and people's sins and failures already. You're not shocked by people's mess, failures, and inconsistencies. You need to be whole. Yes, God will break you, make you, and mold you, and make you even better. But if you're looking for somebody to make you happy, marriage is not the way to go, my dear friends. You need to get hooked up to Jesus. And your job is to be a blessing inside the marriage. Your marriage is not whole. You need Jesus, both of you. Be that as it may. And when Jesus finally made it to the ruler's house, and when Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the ministries and the people making a noise, I mean the minstrels. And when Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the minstrels, the singers and professional mourners and dancers, and the people making a noise, he said unto them, give place, For the maid is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when the people were put forth, basically put out, he went in and took her by the hand, and the maid arose. And the fame hereof went abroad into all that land. Holy Father God, we thank you for your precious holy word and your holy gospel. We thank you for your holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, your Holy Spirit. And Lord, we pray that you would grant me fresh unction and anointing and the power of your Holy Spirit to preach your holy word and to preach your holy gospel, to introduce people to Jesus. We know that the devil has been fighting us, Lord, a whole lot since the beginning of the year, because he is shocked that we continued on and did not take a break. And we thank you for bringing us through these hard days, these difficult days. And I imagine, Lord, they will continue to be that way. And I pray that you'll give us sweet victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil once again tonight. And I pray that you would save those who are lost under the sound of my voice, revive those who are saved, and help them to grow in the faith and be the Christians you want them to be. In Jesus Christ's name we do pray, and for his sake, amen. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, James Nisbet said, it was Christ's will to reward the faith of the father who had sought him out and trusted him. Although he arrived late enough, some might say, to try the father's faith, but as the old black saints used to say, God may not come when you think he ought to come, but he's always right on time. Amen, somebody. He was not too late to grant, if you will, the Father's request. Thus it shall be with the prayer of faith. It is prayer which brings Christ himself to the rescue in the emergency of the perishing soul. Jesus takes care of emergencies which are not emergencies to him. And so, ladies and gentlemen, in our text for tonight, we return to the account of the Capernaum synagogue ruler, many believe, Jairus. We could call him, if you will, the chief executive officer or president of that establishment. And if you visit some Jewish synagogues today, they will have a president of the synagogue. Not all, but some. President of the organization. But at the moment, his daughter, that is Jairus, who had fallen ill, is dead, and he does not really care that much about any of the rights, privileges, or responsibilities of his position. He believes Jesus can bring his daughter back to life. He has that faith that Jesus can do it. Knowing that he would face criticism, He defied his religious peers to seek the help of this controversial teacher and miracle worker. But as they are on the way to Jairus' house, a sick woman interrupts Jesus' journey. Jairus, like many of us, could have felt at least some slight irritation at the situation and the woman, who decided that this particular moment was her time to claim her healing. For her, this was an emergency. Amen, somebody. She saw the ambulance and the funeral vehicle, the hearse, racing down the road, if you will. But she had to stop them and let them know, let Jesus know in her own way that I have an emergency too. She needed her healing. And she felt, as many desperate housewives feel, that this was her only chance. But Jesus did not treat this woman like an interruption. He knew that she was a part of God's plan for his ministry that day as well. And Jesus will not see you, dear friend, as wicked as you are, as diseased as you are with sin and evil, as an interruption. Jesus takes care of emergencies which are not emergencies to him. Someone said a long time ago, has it ever occurred to you that nothing occurs to God? After commending this daughter for her faith, Jesus returns his attention to Jairus' daughter, not only commending this woman of her faith, but healing her, delivering her, solving her problem in the emergency room on the side of the road. He has now arrived at the ruler's house, where people have gathered to mourn the girl's death. We call it a wake, where people gather around to mourn and to comfort. The text tells us that Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the minstrels and the people making a noise, playing some music. They might have had a tambourine. We don't see that much in the Baptist church. We don't even see it that much in the Pentecostal holiness churches anymore. But back in the day, in the Pentecostal holiness churches, if you didn't have anything else, you had a tambourine. And there were some sisters who can play that tambourine. They can flat play it. And so they were making a noise, these minstrels. And people were not just family members and friends gathered to grieve a tragic loss. You know, whenever a child dies, that's a tragedy. These were professional mourners hired by the family according to Jewish custom. These are they, if you will, who choose the funeral profession, which is a noble profession. But if you know any funeral home directors, you hardly see them laugh. They're professional mourners with you in your grief. and they always have that look on their face. Very somber and very sober. That's their talent, that's their gift. And we thank God for them, because thankfully we don't experience death every day in our families. And we need somebody who is familiar with it. Commentators note that professional mourners were hired even by the poorest families to get through that season. Mourning, like everything else, had been reduced to a system. And even today, the funeral business, in many cases, thank God for those who have genuine love and concern, but it is a business, and it is a system. Point one, point two, point three, they know how to carry you through it. And thank God they do, because some would not get through it without them. Two flutes and one mourning woman at the burial of a deceased wife was incumbent on the poorest man. You need to do something. And thank God for those who can weep with those who weep. You need somebody like that in that moment, particularly when you're talking about the death of a child, a tragedy. Thank God for those who have the gift of helps, the gift of mercy. And they're not phony, and they're not fake, and they're not in it for themselves, meaning they don't get off on it. Because we have those as well. They get off on other people's tragedy and pain. They know how to fix up their face with you, but then they go and talk about your situation to others. We're not talking about them. But people who are born to comfort people when they're going through, those mourners, those who have the gift of mercy, those who have the gift of helps, those born again ones, those genuine ones, we thank God for them. Oftentimes the older sisters in the church who know how to say, "It's going to be all right, baby, because I had to bury my daughter too." God will be faithful. God is faithful, and he will bring you through. And they know how to hold you, and they know how to hug you, and they know how to bless your heart, shut up. Amen, somebody. They understand the ministry of presence. They understand the ministry of silence. They understand the ministry of sitting there with you while you're sleeping for 4 hours and knowing the value of being there when you wake up. These are they. We thank God for them. Yes, for some it's a profession, but for many is not. Thank God for pastors who can identify these people in the church. These people who can walk with you and talk with you in the valley of the shadow of death, because they've been there. It's a group of about 16 to 20. They know how to do it. You don't hear much from these people when the sun is shining bright and the music is going bumpity bump and everybody is partying and getting down. You don't see these dear saints. They're in the shadows waiting for the lights to go out and the sun to go down on your life. When tragedy strikes, zip, bam, boom, out of nowhere, thank God for wise pastors who can identify these people. They come out of the woodwork. And without an ounce of faking and phoniness, they get you through the darkest night of your life. They know how to say it. Baby's going to be all right. We're going to take care of this right here. You don't have to worry about your food for the next month. You don't have to worry about your bills for the next 3 months. We're going to take care of all of the legal issues. We've already contacted the funeral home. If you have any special things, share that with us. And we're going to take care of everything, honey. And it's already paid for. Don't you worry about a thing. And then the mother breaks down in tears. And Big Mama. Nobody can hug you like Big Mama. Big Mama knows how to embrace you. And get you through it. Thank God for these folks in the church. And so, ladies and gentlemen, back to the text. Jesus immediately tells these funeral home professionals, in this particular case, give place. The term means to withdraw. He said, we don't need funeral home directors. We don't need professional mourners when Jesus is getting ready to raise the dead. We need some folks with a spirit of celebration. Because ain't nobody dead here. She sleepeth. Amen, somebody. The term means to withdraw from a location in order to make room for another. In other words, Jesus is saying, get them out of here, please. I'm getting ready to operate. And these people who refuse to believe don't need to be in here. They don't deserve to see this, if you will. For he continues, the maid is not dead, but sleepeth. Of course, we know that sleep is a biblical term for death. Because no one is ever dead to God. Amen, somebody. Jesus knew that this girl's soul was very much alive, and bringing her back to life was simply a matter of calling the soul he had made back into the body that he had also made. I know that's kind of deep for you, but it's true. Jesus is seeing things from the heavenly perspective. And he knew, of course, all of the inner workings of that. For he is God, Emmanuel, God with us. I love that name, by the way, Emmanuel, God with us. But the mourners and noise makers only see things from a human perspective. No, I know, I've already checked this pulse, her pulse and everything. She dead. Look at here, I'm talking about she sleeps. So what? No, I know, I've been doing this a long time. You know, don't tell me she ain't dead. You know how some of us is. And thus we read, they laughed him to scorn. I mean, this is belly laughter. I mean, this is bending over. Boy, that man crazy. Talk about it, I tell you. Where you this newcomer coming from? Man, talking about she ain't dead. Man, I've been doing this for 55 years. Man, I've been a minstrel for 55 years. I know she did. I don't be dancing and singing for nobody if they ain't dead. Now, no one likes death. I think all of us recognize it is... death unnatural for someone to be here physically where we can see them today in our minds looking normal with all their breath and mental faculties, as the old black saints used to say, with the blood running warm in their veins, everything in order. but gone the next day or that night. Nothing freaked us out back in the day down in the hood like death. Nothing freaked us out down in the hood like death. My mother would come in the house and say, "Miss Mabel across the street died tonight." And the children would say, "What?" "We're going to go over and sit with the family. We're going to go to the wake." All that was some spooky, superstitious stuff to us. Death was a strange thing for us back in the day. It's frightening, quite frankly. I think all of us recognize it as unnatural for someone to be here physically today with all of their life in them, mental faculties in order, but gone tomorrow. And the only thing left behind a full life is a cold corpse. But when presented with the possibility of a death being undone, the people laugh Jesus to scorn. So, my beloved, this was not just a quiet chuckle, but loud laughter given in full confidence that one is correct. Thayer's Greek lexicon states that the word means to laugh down or laugh with derision. Looking at folks with tears in your eyes, can't catch your breath laughter. These people thought Jesus was ridiculous to suggest that the girl was alive when she was so very clearly dead. However, as we continue in this passage, my beloved, we find that though the people laughed at Jesus, Jesus laughed at death. Amen, somebody, if you will. What happens in this little girl's bedroom ought to remind us that God does not see things from our perspective. Where we see a dead end or a dead person here, He sees an open door. Where we see a brick wall, He sees possibilities galore. Where we see sickness, Jesus sees healing. Where we see death, Jesus sees life. Having faith allows us to tap into God's perspective on our lives. Faith allows us to believe that we can receive healing and resurrection physically and spiritually. Most importantly, faith allows us to receive forgiveness, grace, and salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know Him as your Savior? I didn't know John C. Ryle was a poet, but he read back one day and wrote this many years ago. Faith is a very simple thing, though little understood. It frees the soul from death's dread sting by resting in Jesus' blood. It looks not on the things around, nor on the things within. It takes its flight to scenes above, beyond the sphere of sin. It sees upon the throne of God a victim that was slain. It rests its all on His shed blood and says, "I'm born again." Faith is not what we feel or see. It is a simple trust in what the God of love has said of Jesus as the just. It tells me I am counted dead by God in His own word. It tells me I am born again in Christ, my risen Lord. In that He died to sin. In that He lives to God. Then I am dead to nature's hopes and justified through His blood. Amen, somebody. So if He is free, then I am free from all unrighteousness. If He is just, then I am just. He is my righteousness. What want I more to perfect bliss? A body like His own will perfect me for greater joys than angels round the throne. Ladies and gentlemen, let's stand. Holy Father God, we praise You and we thank You, Lord, for allowing us to hear more about Jesus, as the hymn writer said. Lord, help us to continue to hear more and more about Jesus. And Lord, help us to introduce Jesus to millions. Open blinded eyes, unstop deaf ears. And Lord, save those who are lost under the sound of my voice. Demonstrate the power, the unction, and the anointing of Your Holy Spirit. Rebuke and bind the devil, his demons, and his hosts. Lord, from this time, and save those who are lost. Revive those who are saved. Reclaim the backslidden by the power of Your grace, by the power of Your gospel, by the power of Your holy word, by the power of Your Holy Spirit. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for His sake, amen. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, if you are with us tonight and you do not yet know the Lord Jesus Christ, in the free pardon of your sins as your Lord and Savior, allow me to share with you how you can place your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for your soul's salvation, so that you can be saved from the horrors of hell and be saved to the bliss of heaven. Most of you listening to me, particularly in America, you have insurance policies. They may have defaulted, or you may have not paid your premium, your bill, and you need to catch it up. But you take, and we all take insurance seriously, no matter how painful it is to pay for something that may happen or may not. I really do believe that you need to take eternal life insurance and assurance seriously. I really do believe that. I saw a commercial recently. It was a beautiful commercial about a mother telling her son, adult son, that, listen, I have signed up for this insurance that when I die, my funeral expenses will all be paid, and I will not leave you all with a big burden in a funeral home bill. And you know, it's always kind of weird and awkward, these folks. But I think when they do these commercials, and it looks phony, but the principle behind it is good. It is good to make people face their mortality, to make the world face the fact that you will die one day if you live long enough. And it's going to be better on the people left behind and on you if you take care of business on the front end. Be an adult, be mature, and get your house in order, so to speak. But it's tragic that many people take that seriously, but they don't take eternal life insurance and assurance seriously. They don't take care of where they're going to go when they die. And so if you want to be saved from the horrors of hell, as the Bible talks about, and go and join the saints in the bliss of heaven, you need to take care of your life, your eternal life insurance. You don't have to pay a dime. There's no premium. You don't have to pay a monthly fee. You don't have to worry about your insurance going up or them not accepting your insurance, because your eternal life insurance has already been paid through the blood of Jesus, which we just mentioned. And all you have to do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. For the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou you shalt be saved. Understand that you have done evil in your life. You are a sinner. So first, please understand, accept the fact that you are a sinner, and that you have broken God's laws. You've done evil in God's sight. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. These are realities. These are facts. This is all a part of your eternal life insurance policy. That's the first thing. Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. There's punishment for sin always. In life, in the home, in the government, on the job. You keep being late on your job. That's a sin as far as your boss is concerned. You're going to lose your job. There's punishment. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. This is a part of your, you need to understand this as a part of your eternal life insurance policy. You're going to die because of sin. Thirdly, you must understand, if you don't accept that Jesus Christ, John 3:16, eternal life policy, you're going to go to a place called hell. Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, preached more on hell than he did about heaven. He preached more on hell than anybody, any preacher in the Bible, and sadly today, than most preachers today. That's why I preach on it every sermon, every message. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. If you don't trust Christ as Savior and his shed blood, that's the payment for your sins. He is the Lamb of God who died on the cross for your sins and for mine. He was buried and rose again. And according to John the Baptist, behold the Lamb of God who has taken away the sin of the world, all of it. And all you have to do is believe on Christ. Yeah. In this policy, you don't have to join a church to be saved. You don't have to be in a church to believe on Christ. You don't have to give any money to the church to believe on Christ. You don't have to get baptized to believe on Christ and be saved. You cannot lose this policy. You bring the blood of Jesus that's stamped on the policy to the pearly white gates, they have to let you in. You will never lose this eternal life insurance. So hell is a bad situation. Hell is bad news. But I have good news for you. As we make a beeline to John 3:16, the foundation of this policy. Jesus Christ said himself, for he's the author of the policy, and the keeper of the policy. He said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world, that includes you, that he gave his only begotten son, that's Jesus, he was talking about himself, that whosoever, that word means anybody at any time, this policy includes you, believeth in him should not perish. All you have to do is believe in him. You should not perish, that is in hell, but have everlasting life where? In heaven. And just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart today to save your soul, and he will. Romans 10:9-13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's the guarantee on your eternal life insurance policy. Is guaranteed if you believe in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ and pray and ask him to save you. He will not refuse you, no matter what you have done, no matter what kind of sin diseases you have. He will accept you, even if you're dying on the cross beside him. He said to the thief on the cross, because the thief on the cross believed on him at that moment, Jesus said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. So believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, dear friend. Get your eternal life insurance policy by trusting Christ as Savior today. And if you need a little help praying the sinner's prayer, which is your signature on the policy, I'll be glad to lead you in that prayer. I'll guide you in the prayer. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I acknowledge that I am a sinner. I admit that I have done evil in your sight, that I have broken your Ten Commandments, for I have lied many times. I have lusted after people and things. I have stolen things before. It was just a pen from the office, but I stole that. And I have dishonored and disobeyed my parents. I have taken your holy name in vain. For Jesus Christ's sake, please have mercy and grace upon my soul. And please forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ. Like the thief on the cross. I believe with all of my heart that he suffered, bled, and died on the cross for my sins. That he was buried and that he rose again from the dead. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past. Help me to turn from my evil ways and help me to follow you for the remainder of my life on this earth into glory. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you believed in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, that he died on the cross for your sins, that he was buried and rose from the dead on the third day, allow me to say to you, congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. If you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, please email me at dw3@gospellightsociety.com and let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Until next time, my beloved, God loves you. We love you. And may God bless you real good, is my prayer.
I don't know why Jesus loved me.